Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network. Learn to fly.
You are the teacher. Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy. This week, I'll be interviewing Living in Tune guest Ray Casolino, a retired chiropractor and specialist in prenatal and birth somatic psychology. Ray is director of the Casolino Prenatal and Birth Therapy Professional Training and is clinical director of BEBA, B-E-B-A, a non-profit research clinic for building and enhancing family bonding and attachment. For several years, Ray has worked directly with home birth midwife Mary Jackson, preparing families for birth and supporting families to integrate and resolve early traumatic experiences. Together, we'll all explore and discover what our birth journey is about and our needs in the womb. Also, what happens when we don't have optimal womb and birth experiences and how this shows up in our life and relationships. We'll also look at how we seek to resolve these birth journey interruptions in our constant drive for self-healing. I won't be doing a repatterning today, as I've done in all the past shows. Ray and I could probably spend at least half a day just touching in on this amazing life theme. But once you hear what Ray has to share, I think each one of you will have a deeper understanding of how we can help ourselves and others resolve some of these early patterns, even by beginning to apply Ray's five basic principles for being with babies, as well as applying these principles with our intimate partners, family, and others. For those of you who want to contact Ray for more personal work or training, you can actually get in touch with him at his website, www.castellinotraining.com or beba.org. You're welcome to download a transcript of the show, which will give you information you may want to keep and refer back to. So now let's look at our theme for this week, our birth journey. How does your birth journey from conception to attachment at the mother's breast after birth affect your life and relationships? So Ray, do we have you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for having
me on. It may be good night or good afternoon because we have people all around the world listening in. Lovely, Ray. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And Ray, perhaps you can begin by sharing with us a little what drew you to babies and eventually to working with babies, parents, and adults to resolve their birth journey interruptions.
Well, first, just being a parent. For 5 years in the 1970s, I was a single dad. And I was studying polarity therapy and cranial therapy and then later chiropractic. And I would hold my son, and he would move his body in ways that looked like he was being born, and he would make the sounds that his mother made when he was being born. And later when I was working with in babies and moms and dads in my chiropractic clinic in the early 1980s, I would be holding a baby's head, and the baby would start to move, and they would turn their heads, and then they would start to turn their body, and they would move in a way as if they were showing me how they were being born and showing their mother and their father. And so I've seen this over and over and over again, and that just like awakened the whole thing. These babies are sentient. They're beings of consciousness, and they have something to teach us.
And why is it then that babies all do this? They move their head and they move their body. Why do they even need to keep doing that birth journey?
You know, I'm laughing because I know with both my children, I don't know how many times I've told their birth stories and my journey with them as they were being born. You know, something being born, you know, coming into the creation is a big deal. It's no little thing. And those big things that we do in our lives, we tend to want to tell those stories over and over and over again. And so the babies, they're not speaking yet, but they know how to show their story.
So, you know, it's amazing. They did a whole research project on what's going to be the most important thing in the future. And what these scientists came up with was telling our stories.
Oh, yes.
So it's kind of an innate thing, then, that we want to share ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, the attachment theorists, when you look at how babies attach to their parents and parents bond with their babies, they discovered this very wonderful thing, that the parents who can tell their own history, their own story, in a way that's coherent, has the felt sense, the feeling of open possibility, no matter how challenging or difficult that story is, that history is, those parents have more than an 80% chance that the babies that they have will securely attach to them as infants and children.
And when you mean, so when you're talking about the parents telling their story, I mean literally with words, sharing themselves?
Well, what happened is researchers in Berkeley, California, studied a whole group of parents where the mothers were pregnant. And they found out that the mothers and fathers who were able to tell their story, no matter how difficult it was, in a relaxed, open way, without constriction in it, those parents were able to raise children that knew how to, that were able to securely attach with them, which is different than insecurely attaching with them.
So talk about secure attachment and insecure attachment.
Well, when a baby is able to securely attach to their mother and father, that baby, that child, will be able to relax into the mother, relax into the father, relax into the parent who's raising them, and let go, and trust that they'll be held, and trust that they'll be fed, and trust that they'll be kept warm. They'll be able to trust that the person holding them will receive the love they have for them.
Receive the baby's love.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amazing. And that then impacts your whole life in terms of trusting the world. Trusting
absolutely.
That your love can flow out and be received.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the fact is that most of us came in under less than ideal circumstances. So, most of us don't have the secure reference in our history. Most of us have interruptions to that secure reference. So from coming in, from our conception through our whole gestation, through our birth, we have had to adapt. We've had to compensate, and we've had to make decisions. That's an interesting thing to say about a prenate, a baby in the womb, or a newborn. We've had to make decisions to take care of the adult world in a way that we wouldn't have to. If the adult world was fully competent when we were that little.
So, Ray, maybe then what is meant to happen in the womb, and what is the ideal conception, womb experience, birth?
What's the ideal? Well, first thing I want to say is that even before we go to that question, is that it's really important that when I think about, or when I, consider, I sit with a family that is actually doing it in the way we'll be talking about, that it brings up for me what wasn't there. It causes me to think about and have feelings about what I wasn't able to give my own children. So one of the things that's really, really important for all the parents and the grandparents, I'm a grandfather, all of us out there, is to really be gentle with ourselves with these ideas, and to keep remembering that no matter how it came down, we've always worked to do our best with our children. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that before we go ahead into looking at, what my thoughts on an ideal conception or birth
are. So no judgment.
Yeah, on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's that's not so easy to do. So if you're sitting, you know, those of you that are listening, if you're sitting with somebody, have contact with that person. Mm-hmm. If you're just listening by yourself, you know, look out a window and see what's resourcing, and you know, you hear our voices, and so what is, you know, what is the ideal way to come in? Well, first of all, no matter how we come in, the journey is a challenge. It's not easy to come from the other side into this creation, and you know, both you and I, Chloe, we're coming from an understanding that acknowledges that consciousness, the soul, precedes the body. Mm-hmm. So that we were beings of consciousness, of love, coming into the creation, and as we come into the creation, a body forms that our consciousness communicates through and expresses through and receives through. Now that's a big, big thing, to come in as, you know, light and love and sound, is to come in to a creation. And ideally, we come into a creation with parents who and a family who want us. Mm-hmm. They're inviting us to come. Mm. And that was the case for some of us, and that was the case, was not the case for many of us, but to have that invitation to come, and then to come into the creation. I can remember my own, it's an interesting thing to say, but I have a memory of my own conception. Mm. I was born in the 1940s, mm-hmm. and I remember. This is an interesting thing to say. Whoa, am I making a story up? Maybe I am, but this memory is very, very clear. It's more vivid than the most vivid of dreams that I've had. Mm. It's almost like looking out the window that I'm looking at the trees and the sky right now. Mm. Wow.
Yes.
That must mean something.
Yes. So we'll just take a little pause now, and Ray, I'll be back with you just after this little break.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net. net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning Seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Learn to fly.
And we're back again, and I have wonderful Living in Tune guest with me, Ray Castellino. And we were talking about how the consciousness, the soul, comes into the creation. And it acts, expresses itself through the body. And this is not such an easy thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an ideal way for it to happen, and there's also a less than ideal way for it to happen. And Ray was just talking about his own very clear memory of his own conception. So, Ray, maybe you can share that with us.
Well, yeah, I could go on for hours and hours about all of this, but just to get the kernel of it, basically, my memory is that I actually did not want to come into the creation, mm-hmm. and that my memory is that I was sent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came, it was as if I could see the earth. This was 1944. The world was at war in World War II, and I could see a stressed world, and I could see my parents joining together, and my mother desperately wanting a child because my father was going to go off to that war. So I came in from their perspective for the purpose of filling the space of my father's absence.
Mm.
But I also have a sense that I was sent, like I didn't want to come to this place.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm here now, but...
Yes.
So the point is that there's something going on with the consciousness, and then the consciousness has to come and work through a body that's forming, and how we come in and how we are held and how we are received in the beginning shapes the way our body forms. Our nervous system, all of our physiology. Yes, we have, you know, two eyes, two ears, nose, and we look like the parents we were conceived to, but the way our body functions and the way our body receives information and gives information, all of that is organized right in the beginning, the precursors for that organization, for how that body's going to grow and be able to do all of that,
mm.
is affected by the very earliest of experiences,
mm.
including birth and early conception, birth and early childhood.
Yes, and that it really has then a huge impact on how we relate to people.
Well, first, it has a huge impact on how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
I failed at being able to fill the shoes of my father as an infant. And so I grew up with this tremendous need to succeed and fear of failure.
Mm.
And a freeze in that. So, you know, being able to go back and explore these early memories and get the perspective, get the story right, and get my history differentiated is tremendously freeing.
Yes, so then this is why there's this innate urge to share our experiences with each other.
Oh.
And just that sharing and being heard with sympathetic understanding and love, even that then can help us to what? It doesn't help us to redo the story, but so what is it that we get from doing that?
Well, you're hitting the nail right on the head. The way our body shapes and the way we receive and give information and give communication and the way our body organizes as it grows is dependent on the quality of the relationships we have when we're in the womb, the relationship with our mother, the relationship she has with our father and her world. So those relationships and how she is relating and how our father or her partner relates to us, related to us when we're in the womb, affects how we shape and form. So if you think about this, the baby in the womb has her own body, has his own body. This idea comes from a Dutch embryologist, Jaap van der Waal, a wonderful, wonderful man. At any rate, what he says, what Jaap van der Waal says, is that the mother's body is the outer body of the baby. Now, if you think about that, the baby in the womb is having the experience of the mother, and the mother's body is that baby's outer body. So in the womb, I am myself and my mother.
Yeah.
That means that I am not differentiated in the womb. In that place, the consciousness is undifferentiated. I'm merged into that. That means as I'm coming in through gestation, I'm taking on my mother as myself. And in the work we do with couples that are preparing for conception and couples that are preparing for birth, Mary Jackson and I, a home birth midwife, been working with for 4 years, and I've been working for 20 years before that. But the way we prepare the parents is we work with them so that they actually are differentiating their own experience while they're having it with their babies in the womb. So they're talking to their babies and they're saying, hey, you know, like, whoa, I'm really having a hard day today. You know, I'm driving the car and somebody comes in front. Oh, it's not you, little one. Mm-hmm. This is mommy's job. I'm taking care of this. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is that the children who have parents that do that begin differentiating their parents' experience and their ancestors' experience way, way before maybe you and I did, Chloe. I mean, I didn't start thinking about this stuff and really getting the difference between my early history and where I came from and who I am today.
Yeah.
I didn't start doing this until my late 20s. And
yes, and many
30s.
People never do it.
Yeah.
They just keep on living it out without, yes. So this is amazing. Just by talking, by sharing what you're doing can make that much difference.
Well, and it's also not just the talking and the sharing, but doing it in a particular way.
Uh-huh.
Doing it in a way so that we're integrating our experience as we're moving through time.
Doing it in a way that we're integrating our experiences through time.
As we're moving through time. So right now we're talking on the telephone. Mm-hmm. We're talking on this radio program. Many of you are listening out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding an intention to speak in a way so that as I'm talking with you, I'm integrating my experience.
So what does that mean, integrating your experience?
I'm doing this for myself in a way so that I'm not overloading my system. Mm. You know, if we look at a day or just, 10 minutes in a day, you know, there's all of these things that we have to get done. All of these things in preparation for whatever our job is, you know, get the children out the door, resolve last night's difficult discussion with somebody who was close to us, get ready for a phone call, whatever it is, you know, drive somewhere, listen to the radio, get the news, get ready to vote, God knows what, all of these things that we have to do as people.
Yeah.
And we're going here and we're going there. And the tempo is so fast, mm-hmm. and there's so many layers going on at the same time.
Yes.
And in terms of the ideal for babies, for prenates, babies, and babies, it's really important to learn how to go at the baby's tempo, mm-hmm. at the baby's rhythm. Mm-hmm. Because if we do that, then what will happen is we'll move through time in a way where we're integrating our experience. The baby will integrate their experience.
Yes. So when I feel myself getting overwhelmed, then that's a sign that I've overloaded and I'm not integrating my experience.
That's correct.
And if I can just take a pause and slow that down, then I'm integrating everything I need to do.
That's correct.
Wonderful. So now, Ray, so we've talked then about the ideal, and what happens, for instance, let's say the child didn't have the ideal. Let's say a mother wanted the baby and the father didn't want the baby. Can you give an example of how would show up?
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of a family, and all the stories that I tell you, I have their permission to tell these stories. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a family where the baby was conceived, and the mother really, really wanted the baby. Never was a question for her. And the father went into shock. He could not conceive himself a father. And he did not want the baby. He wanted the mother to have an abortion. And she didn't. And, you know, he really worked with his feelings about this and came to a point of some acceptance. But he really didn't get it until his daughter was born and he saw his daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he immediately fell in love with her. Mm-hmm. He's just like, oh, my God. And he had this thing in him where he went, oh, my God, what did I do? You know? How could I have been that way before? Well, it turned out that in his own history, the father had a similar entrance into the creation.
Yeah.
He wasn't wanted.
Yeah.
So that got recapitulated when his daughter was conceived. But when he met his daughter, he saw his daughter. He just, like, it was a transformation in him. So as the child got older, 2-3 years old, and she's 3 years old. I met her when she was 3 years old, so his daughter. And then she did not like her father. She would not go to him. She would not sit in his lap. She would not give him the time of day. He would walk in the room. She would go out.
Mm-hmm.
She did not want to sit at the dinner table with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a concern, and so we had the opportunity to sit with them. And what we do is a 3-year-old child would go home. We have a playroom and the child plays and they show their story. When kids are 3-year-olds, they show their story through symbolic play and so on. And she would work there, and the father came and the mother came. But we got to a place where the father began to tell the story of, this must mean something.
Yes.
Perfect timing. We'll come back with
we'll come back
with the rest of the story.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Ray.
Sure.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take. Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
What can you tell me about Skills USA?
Skills USA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
The web at skillsusa.org.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Learn to fly.
Yes, so we were talking. Ray was sharing the story about the little girl whose mother wanted the baby and the father didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray, this is interesting from the point of view of resonance repatterning because, you know, what we say is when you have these less than ideal experiences, your frequencies go out of sync.
That's right.
And then, of course, you can't express the love, the innate love that the child wants for the father. It can't be expressed. And so that's exactly what you're showing in the story. So the child then, so what did you do then to resolve that?
Well, It's a very interesting thing. What the father didn't know is that he had to do repair with his daughter. He had to let the daughter know what happened to him. And so we were in a session, and we were playing, and the little girl was showing some part of her story, and the father just kind of dropped in. He got into sync with her. He got into resonance with her. And he just kind of like started to shed a tear, and he said, you know, said his little daughter's name. He says, you know, I'm so sorry. I was so confused when you were conceived. So, so sorry. When I met you, I just fell in love with you. And I didn't know. I'm so sorry. And the little girl put the doll down that she had in her hand. And she looked up at her dad, and she walked over to him and climbed in his lap. It became part of their conversation.
Yeah.
And she was able to accept where he was.
Yeah.
When she was conceived.
Yes.
And their relationship just started to mend. They had the normal kinds of things you have with parents and children as they grow up. But she chose him then. Before that got resolved, before he acknowledged that himself, she was not able to choose him.
Yeah.
And she felt the anger of not being wanted. That was foremost in her consciousness.
Yes, so even though he wanted her and adored her, that pattern was already set.
That's right.
And I suppose this is, again, in resonance repatterning, we talk about the blessing of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That she's letting him know that 9 months in the womb is not resolved.
That's right.
And that he must, and that basically then it's about being absolutely truthful with compassion and love.
Yeah. And when we're telling those stories, to tell those stories in the tempo and the rhythm that both the baby, the child, and the parent can make sense out of it while it's being told. That's really, really important.
So again,
it's not something to rush through.
Yeah. So this, again, is the integration of the experience.
That's correct.
It has to be slowed down.
That's right.
And even then, Ray, that applies to us as adults when we're listening to each other's stories as a husband or a wife.
Oh.
We just need to slow down.
Well, slow down and take turns. I mean, I often think of what happens between couples is it's really, you know, you have the husband and the wife, and really what they get into an argument, and if you get to the basis of their argument, it's almost as if their ancestors are having the argument with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
And they're just kind of hooked in, and so it's really necessary for husbands and wives, and especially it's necessary for our children, but for the mothers and the fathers, to actually take turns in sharing what's going on with them, and then whoever's listening to be able to really take in what the other's saying and do deep, deep listening with each other, even if we disagree. It's not about the disagreement.
Yeah.
It's about making space to have the felt sense of listening and receiving what the other is saying. Is recognizing that the other, even in the turmoil, is loving us.
Beautiful. So, Ray, there's one interruption, that a question has come in, which I know resonance repatterning, we see a lot of this, where people ask, what about adoption? You know, that the baby is taken from the mother, never sees the birth mother, and then find it difficult to bond and be intimate with, you know, the husband, the wife, with their own children.
Yes.
How do you deal with this kind of painful situation?
Well, first of all, I mean, you're talking about a person who's grown up now, who's an adult, who was given up at birth for adoption. And let's back up and just look at the circumstance of an adoption, or of being born to a natal family or a natal mother, and then being taken somewhere else and experiencing that level of separation. What happens is that baby, when they go to the new family, that baby already has experience on the earth, conception in 9 months of gestation. And what that baby will work to do with the people that are raising them, with the adoptive parents that are raising them, that baby will work to show those parents where he came or she came from. They will do things that will show the story of their conception, of their gestation, of their birth. And they will have feelings. And it's really important. Well, this is true even if our children are not adopted, but it's every parent needs to learn the skill of making space for the child's feelings. And to do that in a container where the child's safe and the parents are safe. So we have lots of wonderful experience with adoptive children and their adoptive parents. And also in the womb surround workshops that I do with adults, many, many adoptive adults. But it's a very interesting thing, because the adoptive child has to be able to choose the adoptive parents as the as the people that are raising them. And the parents have to make space for that. I'm thinking of a little boy, I can say his name, Daniel. He is now 13 years old. But I met him when he was 14 months old, and when I met him, Daniel would take his milk, he would go into the corner, and he would cower in the corner and curl up, and he would drink his milk alone. He would not sit at the table, he wouldn't go near the table, and he would not make eye contact with his adoptive parents. He was very, very isolated and very, very much inside himself. And I remember the very first session with him and his mother. He crawled up in his mother's lap, his adoptive mother's lap, bent over backwards onto her legs. She's sitting on the floor. And he slides down her legs with his head up, facing upwards. And when he gets toward her feet, he begins to turn over to his right side. And he comes up onto his feet, and he takes a step and trips, and he kind of captures himself. He runs around, climbs in her lap, does the same thing again and again and again. He repeated this over and over and over again. Turns out what he was doing is he was showing his adoptive mother and myself how he was born. And later on, after some time, after some sessions, he would crawl through a barrel that we had. And when he would emerge out of the barrel, he would stand up and he would take a step and trip, just like he did when he was coming off of his mother's lap, off her legs. And it turns out that that tripping place in his body movement was the same place of when he was taken from his biological mother. Later on, he took his adoptive mother, he put her in the tunnel, he brought her toys and little stuffed animals, and we still have it. We have this kangaroo with a baby kangaroo that goes in the pouch. When he first started picking up that baby kangaroo, he would throw it down on the ground. He would take the mommy kangaroo and throw it down on the ground and kind of stomp around. And this time, after some work, he picked up that baby kangaroo and he put it into the nape of his neck and cuddled it, and he walked it over to his mother and he gave it to her in the tunnel. And then he crawled over the top of the tunnel. We helped him do this, and he would fold himself over into the tunnel on top of his adoptive mother in the tunnel.
Wow.
And then he would breath himself out of the tunnel.
Oh.
And when he brought that little baby and he brought the mommy kangaroo to the mother, he put the two of them together. And he crawled into that tunnel and he nuzzled with her in the same way that he nuzzled that little baby kangaroo in the nape of the neck. He chose his adoptive mother. Now, for an adult who grows up with any kind of traumatic beginning, but adoption is a good example. The adoptive person grows up and, you know, there's like all kinds of feelings of not belonging, but the absence of, oftentimes, not always, I mean, there's some wonderful, wonderful things that happen with adoptive families. But one thing that can happen is that adoptive person can feel really isolated.
Yeah.
And not be able to make the choice to choose the quality of intimacy that they actually want in their lives. Because when we start to give ourselves what we didn't have as adults, it brings up the memory of the pain of what was there and the loss of what wasn't there when we were little. And this takes some doing.
Yeah.
As a parent, when I give my children something that I wasn't given myself, I feel the joy of doing that, but I also feel the loss of what wasn't there for me when I was that little.
Yeah.
So the key thing is, I mean, this is, you know, in a one-hour nutshell here, but the key thing is to really remember that today I can choose a different experience if I want to, but I need to do that with my adult self, with myself of the age that I am today.
Yes.
The child, the young self, has that wound. And so, like, for example, I love the idea of, like, if I was walking through a park and there was nobody in a park and just a baby there, and I go over, I pick up that baby. Well, I think we'll do this one when we come back.
Yes. Yes. Good. Thank you. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm sure enjoying this.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Your life energy forms vibrating patterns you resonate with that affect the quality of your life. Chloe shares extraordinary ways for creating positive change by balancing your energy field with resonance repatterning. Now, back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Learn to fly.
Yes, Marie, you were saying that as an adult, yes, the child has that wound, but as an adult, we can choose a different experience.
Right, right. We can choose a different experience. We can choose the experience that we want today. But it's as if, you know, we pick up that baby that was us, and we hold that baby today that was us in the way that we would have wanted to have been held then. And we do that with ourselves and with our loved ones.
So really, and also all of us, need to apply your five basic principles. We've actually talked about some of them. Just go through, just recapitulate for us some of these principles.
Well, the principle of choice. Mm-hmm. Parents need to choose their children. The children, the babies, the prenates need to choose us. And we need to have the information so that we can make choices to cooperate.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
The principle of self-regulation, or the principle of the pause. As the parent, it's up to me to integrate my experience as I'm moving through time, to go at a tempo that I can integrate. If I do that, my children will do that. So I take pauses. Principle of confidentiality. I mean, parents will be telling their story about their children. They'll be telling the birth story in the grocery store. That's a very intimate, personal story, even sometimes to strangers. And then the babies will fuss. It's a sacred story. So those stories need to be held in a sacred space. They need to be held with reverence and not just an easy conversation.
And I suppose it's the same thing when parents just talk about their babies in front of the baby to other people. That also is like, could be feeling like a breaking of confidentiality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we need to include the babies in that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so if we're talking to somebody else and the baby's there, you know, you think about, like, how would it feel to you if somebody's having a conversation about you and you're standing there and they're not acknowledging you in the conversation?
Yeah.
Well, the way it feels to us as grown-ups, I believe, is how it feels to babies.
Yes. And then the fourth one.
Well, the fourth one has to do with self-care. If we take care of ourselves, if we nurture ourselves, if we, you know, take care of our bodies, take care of our soul, and take care of our relationships, our children will grow up learning how to do that. Self-care. And then the last principle has to do with how we come into contact. I call this brief, frequent eye contact. We could do a whole program on that. But having contact with the ones that you care about, that you look at each other and reference each other and touch each other with the felt sense of mutual support and cooperation. If a family does those five things, the children will grow up healthy. And we learn these principles by working with families, by raising our own children. Our children have taught us these principles.
Yes, and also on contact, there's eye contact.
That's right.
So I remember you saying once that you're with a baby, you'll just start by just glancing at the baby out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah. Oh, for grandparents and aunts and uncles and anybody coming into contact with a baby, medical care people, you know, the baby needs to choose to come to you. If we put our faces in the baby's face, goochie-goochie-goosh, and try and tickle them and stuff like that, I mean, you know, just think about if somebody came up to you and they're meeting you for the first time and they did that.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, whoa.
Yes.
So making space, slowing down, opening the field, you know, gently coming into contact and letting the baby make contact. If I go into a room, I mean, I'm so privileged, you know, the cats, the dogs, and the kids all end up in my lap. You know, and it's not that I'm trying to get them to do that. I just hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and they choose to come.
And you just relax and
just
give them a little eye contact.
A little eye contact, show interest in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And be excited about, you know, in a relaxed way about what I'm seeing, and just interest.
Yes.
And then being, just having the felt sense and the memory of where we came from, you know?
Yeah. And then you're basically then opening that space for connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much for us to learn in terms of how we can do this with our own partners. You know, just hanging out, relaxed, interested, giving the space, and then the partner can begin to come to that place of intimacy without our saying, you know, I want, I demand.
Mm-hmm. Interrupt the busy world.
Yeah.
With space and time and contact and nature.
Yes. Yeah.
And the remembrance of ourselves, our deeper selves, and each other.
Well, it's very powerful. Ray, it would be lovely to have you come back and talk. There's so many questions I want to ask you and so many details we could go into.
I would love to do that.
It would be wonderful. And,
and
even the journey that very few of us have made, where the baby is meant to be placed on the mother's belly
or
make its own way to the breast.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many journeys that we actually didn't get to make. And
yeah, well, if we did that one, we should have Mary Jackson come. She's brilliant with that work.
And yes, and I love the idea of being able to see how, as adults, we can naturally mend some of these stories and come into the full expression of our consciousness through our body and our mind, because it's what all of us are wanting. Yes.
Well, it's sure a pleasure to spend this time with you, and I'm sure grateful for all you listeners out there that are taking your time, whatever time of day it is, to be listening in. And
yes.
Sure appreciate the opportunity of sharing this with you.
And I think we've learned a lot in terms of just integrating our experiences by tempo and taking pauses. And the same thing when the mother has a baby that's fussing, there's a story in that.
Absolutely.
And so all the mother needs to do is take, or if an adult is fussing, is like take a pause, slow it down. What's the story that wants to express itself here?
Everything a baby does has purpose. Everything. Everything a baby expresses has purpose.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no idleness in the baby.
Yeah. And it needs to be listened to and heard and appreciated.
And appreciated for the love they're giving us. It's like we see the love in them. We reflect the love that we see in them to them. They reflect the love that they see in us.
Yes, and then to see that it's the same thing as adults. That everything we do has a purpose. And that we're also giving and reflecting this love in one way or another. Ray, I'm not quite sure how much time we have left, so I'm just going to just give a little bit of information that needs to be given out. And then if we have a few minutes left over, we may just, whatever we can share, we'll share.
Good.
Okay. So remember, all of you wonderful people, that you can download all the transcripts of all these fantastic and shows that we've been having, and many of them have repatternings that you can proxy into, and modalities that will re-energize you and recharge you. And if you want to download them, it's best to only do three at a time so you don't overload your computer. We've been talking about overloading here and integration. For those of you who want to study resonance repatterning, teacher schedules are on our website at www.resonancerepatterning.net. And wonderful way to start, of course, is with having sessions. Next week, I'll be talking about the secret of your ears, how they recharge your brain. I'll be talking with Billy Thompson, PhD, an expert in the work of Dr. Tomatis, the pioneer and genius who discovered how our ears recharge our brain. And everything tells us about how our ears are functioning. She'll also be talking about actually what happens in utero, where we listen through the amniotic fluid, very different from airborne sound, and how we are not open to the full range of frequencies, that we're often listening to lower frequencies and override hearing the higher frequencies. So this will continue with some of the wonderful work that Ray's been doing. And Ray, thank you so much for being with us today, with all your wisdom and your beauty. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Thank you for having me, and all of you, thank you for listening.
Wonderful. And
what a pleasure to be here.
You can contact Ray at Castellino, Castellino, castellinotraining.com. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome.
And have a wonderful week, everybody.
You are the teacher.
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Today I saw the sun up in-